welcome you to the fourth Sunday of Advent. Old question about did the Grinch steal Christmas? And we confess that the Grinch can't steal Christmas, but the Grinch did steal the fourth week of Advent this liturgical year. It's not unique, it's happened a handful of times, but we are beginning this day in one aspect of the liturgical year, Advent, and we are ending this day beginning Christmas. So we wish you a good Advent service this morning and this evening at 9 o'clock. We invite you to our candlelight Christmas Eve service where we'll kick in the Christmas season. Grateful that you're here. Because of the holidays, we are not having any of our studies or times of fellowship this coming week, so enjoy time with friends and family and in reflection of what God has done for all of us. One other announcement. I have the need for two readers tonight, so if you're going to be there tonight and you would like to read, let me know, and I would love to have people in the congregation do the reading instead of me. So let me know if you're going to be here tonight and would like to do that. And they're not long or difficult word readings. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. As you look around, you can tell we have a whole lot of people in our congregation that have things from the flu to COVID to sinus infections and head colds, and I can name about six families, have been told in the last day and this morning, that are under the weather. So let's just keep all of those in our prayers, and let's also keep those that are traveling in our prayers during this time. Any other prayer requests? Any other prayer requests? Yes?
Helen McKenzie.
I hear her numbers are not what they are. They're increasing.
I don't know any details, but that's right.
Let's keep Helen, and I'll put her in bullet. Any other items for prayer? I want to lift up two families. It's been a long week in one way, but good friends of the Dietrichs that we've been praying for, Bob Kelly. Bob passed away, and we want to keep his wife Vivian in our prayers. And also, we all knew him, Bob Carson, a week ago Sunday, entered into glory. So we want to keep his children and my mom in prayer as well. It's a difficult time. Any other items for prayer? Yes?
I would like to have prayer for all the children in innocence and harm's way with all the wars and conflicts going on.
One of my favorite lines from a prayer, and you've heard me pray it often, is that in our enjoyment of all the blessings we have, may we always be mindful of the needs and wants of others, because there are those that are in difficult straits. So thank you for mentioning that. I rejoice to see some folks that I haven't seen for a while. So Brian, it's good to see you. Heather, it's good to see you. And welcome. And make sure you see everyone when you're done. It was nice to meet John as well this morning. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth that you came not only into our world, not only into the darkness, but you came into our lives. You invaded our hearts. You came to us. And we also gather in the joy and the hope of knowing that you continue to come and you continue to meet us as you have promised to do so. You've promised never to leave nor forsake us, and we're grateful for that. It is not only our joy, it's truly our strength. I pray that you would be with all those in our congregation that are struggling with health issues, from those that are just temporary nuisances to those that are quite serious. We know that as you care for even the movement of a sparrow, you care even more so for the children created in your image. So be with all those in our congregation. Be with those in our congregation and family of our congregation that will be traveling. Give them safety. Give all safety on the road. We pray that you'll be with those that are in harm's way around the world and in our own country. There are so many people in situations that are so difficult. We pray that you'll draw close, comfort, and may they, in a special way, during this season where laughter and joy seems to be prominent for so many, be with those that are feeling lonely and confused and hurt, and may we be sensitive. We pray that you would be with the Carson family and the Kelly family, and we also pray that you would be with Davey and Helen. Just encourage them. News that no one wants to hear when things were going in the other direction for so long. We pray that your healing properties will continue to be operative. We thank you for this day, and again, we thank you for your promise that you will meet us here, for there are two or three or more gathered in your name. So we thank you for your presence, and we pray through your holy name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence,
and take not your Holy Spirit from us.
Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit.
Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. You'll look with the insert before we have all four of the Advent candles lit with the litany that you'll see. Let us use Psalm 85, the portions there, to call each to worship by whole form. Verse. Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness.
Amen. That your love is established forever.
I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant.
I will establish his line forever and preserve your throne for all generations.
The heavens bear witness to your wonders, O Lord, and to your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones.
You spoke once in a vision and said to your faithful people, I set the crown upon a warrior, and there is all the one chosen from my house.
I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him.
My hand will hold fast, and my arm will make him strong.
No enemy shall deceive him, nor any wicked man bring him down. My faithfulness and love shall be with him, and he shall be victorious through my name.
I shall make his dominion extend from the great sea to the river,
He will say to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.
I will make him my firstborn, and higher than the kings of the earth.
I will keep my love for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him.
I will establish his line forever, and his throne in the days of heaven."
When the angel Gabriel visited Mary, announcing God's plan for her to conceive and give birth to the Messiah, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Luke 1:34. And yet, only a few months later, Mary sings to Elizabeth, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Luke 1:46-49.
We, like Mary, hear God's call to be part of making God's dream for our salvation and flourishing a reality, and we question, how can this be? I am only, yet, like Mary, the onlys that make us hesitate are gifts God can and will use as God's love transforms us into bearers of good news.
We pray as people who have encountered divine love that disrupts the status quo and ushers us into abundant life, marked by mutual love and peace that flows from the flourishing of all people.
We light these candles as signs of our shocking hope, our just peace, our fierce joy, and the love that transforms us. May love grow within us, transforming us into bold witnesses of God's salvation with our voices and our lives. Amen.
Thank you. from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11 and 16. When the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever."
Your grace, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who, in becoming born of a child through that finished work, has made us all your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him Give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be unto thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Before worship, we often, and I hope you take advantage of it, we have the privilege of having Mona and often the choir and other musicians in our church do what's called the prelude. And the prelude is not just gathering music so that we're walking in dead silence. It's a time of preparation for us to prepare our hearts for worship. Occasionally, I'm working on the sermon, and a particular song will come to mind, and I will reach out to John for the reason of allowing us to prepare our hearts. As Saul was ministered to by David through music, may we prepare our hearts for the message this morning as we listen to this music together.
Voice a chime, a chance to climb.
Grace and peace be unto you from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, I've always heard big things come in small packages. And that's especially true with words. Sometimes the smallest words are quite significant, especially in Scripture. Words like but is an extremely important word in Scripture. Words like if, extremely important. And there's another word that's extremely important. It's the definitive article, the. Now, I learned from Katie this week, and it's good to see her here. And I forget which way it goes, but I never knew this, that you say the before a consonant, I think, and the before a vowel.
No, you say it
the other way. Well, I'll forget it by the next time I use that. But the word the, that definitive article, is extremely important to the Christian life. See, it's a big difference between Jesus Christ being a Son of God or being the Son of God. And in the same way, I want to talk about angels. I want to talk about angels. We read about in the text today the angel Gabriel. But earlier in John 1 and later in John, I'm sorry, earlier in Luke 1 and later in Luke 2, we'll see an angel mentioned that's throughout all of the Old Testament. See, Jesus came to fulfill prophecy, but not in the sense of a realized prediction. His fulfilling of all the prophecy is more like a tarp that would be pulled off of a statue that was there all the time. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The entirety of the Bible, Old and New Testament, is always about Jesus Christ. So his fulfillment wasn't so much like a prediction that came true. It was more like now we have the tarp removed and we can see clearly. Every time the Bible, this is my premise, every time the Bible mentions the angel of the Lord, it's Jesus Christ. That's different than when it says an angel. An angel is just a messenger, even in the book of Revelation. The pastors are called angels. So if you want to start calling me Angel Tom instead of Pastor Tom, please don't. Everyone will know you're lying. But an angel is simply a messenger. But when it says the angel of the Lord, it's Jesus Christ. It's mentioned all through the Old Testament, in the Pentateuch, in the writings, in the Psalms, in the prophets. It's everywhere. But not in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it's only mentioned in the very beginning. From Luke 2, we will never hear again the phrase, the angel of the Lord. And thinking, students, why will we not hear of the angel of the Lord from the birth of Christ on? Because now the tarp has been removed and we know who the angel of the Lord is. It is Jesus Christ. See, I love children, but this holiday that we're entering upon is not about a birth of a baby. I mean, babies get born all the time. It's not about the birth of a baby. It's technically, it's theologically, it's so importantly the incarnation of God. God incarnated. See, the scripture is very clear. No one can see God. No one can see God. So in Old Testament, New Testament, or anywhere else, if we see God, it is Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God. Martin Luther said, the only God I know is Jesus of Nazareth. That's how we see God. When the tarp is removed and it's revealed, now God is here incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And he is the revelation that comes to us. So let me sort of briefly give you three examples. And I'm going to go to the Old Testament and show this angel of the Lord. I'm going to give three examples when the angel of the Lord, or Jesus Christ, shows up. And let me suggest to you, he always shows up at our greatest point of need. At our greatest point of need. So turn with me to Genesis 16, all the way to the early part of the scripture. Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis 16. And I'll recap the story quite quickly. Let's begin in verse 1 of Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. You may remember God had promised that a great nation would come from Abraham and Sarai. And some years have gone and they haven't seen a kid yet. So impatience with God's timing is nothing new. And Sarah and Abraham became quite impatient that God's promise had not been fulfilled. So they thought, as often we do, that they would help God out. Verse 1, she had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abraham, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go unto my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abraham had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abraham, her husband, as wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarah said to Abraham, "May the wrong you done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." Now, I'm not going to explore this too much, but this husband got set up, didn't he? He did exactly what, I would have said if I was Abraham to Sarah, "This was your idea. It was your idea that I take Hagar and lay with her and have a child. I was only following your advice, and now you're criticizing me, condemning me." But let's forget Abraham and Sarah. Think of Hagar. She doesn't have a vote in this election. She's a servant. She had no option. She did what her master told her to do. And now she has a child, and we're going to see in a few minutes, because of Sarai's jealousy and hatred, they send her off. So now she has a child to take care of. She has no employment. And because she's an unwed mother, she has no likelihood that anyone would draw close to her to support her. But there's one who would draw close to support her. Would you look in verse 7? The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. The angel of the Lord, and who is that class? Jesus Christ, found her. And her humiliation, and her confusion, and her being treated unfairly, being caught. She had done nothing wrong. And Jesus came to her. He found her. And it's interesting that the word here, masa, is the same concept, to find or to pursue, as the promise that's given to all of us in Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow, pursue. And that great poet Francis Thompson talked about the hounds of heaven that will chase after their prey. He'll find you. Jump over while we're here to chapter 21. We'll see how it goes a little longer, and we'll see how beautiful Scripture is. Verse 17 of Genesis 21. And God heard the voice of the boy, Ishmael. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." I love that. The God heard the boy and said, "Fear not, for I heard the voice of the boy where he is." God comes to us at that lowest point. And the interesting thing is, what is this boy's name? Ishmael. You know what Ishmael means? God will hear. The second is in the next chapter, the second example I want to show where the angel of the Lord shows up. Abraham now has had the child of promise, the child that came through Sarai, now Sarah. That child was named Isaac. And then God says, "Go and slaughter Isaac." And you know that story. He goes to slaughter Isaac in Genesis 22. But look in verse 11. Verse 10 must begin. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord, which is whom? Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for you, now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, came to Hagar and Ishmael when they were abandoned and cheated and left alone. He came to Abraham when he was about to see his dreams, his promised sacrifice. And my third example is based on what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10. In 1 Corinthians 10, we read about the Israelites going through the wilderness and that they drank from this eternal water that came from a rock that followed them. And it says, metaphorically in there, it says, and that rock was Christ. The third example of when that angel of the Lord Jesus Christ shows up is you. Third example is whatever point of need you're in right now. The third example is where you might be confused or fearful or abandoned or lonely or frightened or anxious. Our God hears, and our God will pursue, and our God will come to you. In Christ Jesus, he comes. There's a little running joke carried on by one of the more vocal participants of our men's group about whether or not a particular movie with Bruce Willis is a Christmas movie. And any sane person knows that it's not. But can I suggest to you, what everyone knows is the only true Christmas movie. And you know what it is, class. What is the only true Christmas movie? It's A Wonderful Life. And my favorite scene in that movie, and there's multiple scenes in that movie, I use a whole roll of toilet paper wiping my eyes. I'm sorry, I should use Kleenex, but I cry from the beginning to the end. But I cry nowhere more than that scene where George, his life has fallen apart with absolute no fault of his. He's contemplating suicide. He's in a bar in complete despair, throwing doubles back. He's facing bankruptcy. He's facing arrest. He's facing scandal and shame. He sees his life coming to an end. And he prays. He prays. And this is what he prays. Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man. But if you're out there and you can hear me, show me the way. Show me the way. Now, critics of It's a Wonderful Life say that it's not explicitly Christian, that it's sort of a generic religiosity, and I don't agree with that. I think just in this prayer, it's explicitly Christian. Because how does he start the prayer? He says, Dear Father. And by definition, what is a father? Someone who has a son. And then he asks him to show him the way. And no insult to other angels, but Clarence is not the way. Having plenty of friends is not the way. The way is for Hagar and for Ishmael, for Isaac and Abraham, for George Bailey and for you. The way is that God has promised to hear you when you cry and to come to you. All is well because of that. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right to give our thanks and praise. And with the angels and all the heavenly host, let us confess our faith, singing together that hymn of unending praise. Holy,
holy, holy.
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On that night in which Christ was betrayed, he took bread and wine, and he asked that the Spirit would come upon us. And as we gather today as his church, in his grace, I ask that that same Holy Spirit would come upon us, that this bread may be for us the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, blessed the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Brothers and sisters, the gifts of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. The verse right before, the one I quoted in Psalm 23:6, talking about how goodness and mercy will hunt us down and pursue us. It also says, the verse prior, "I will." Not "I might," or "if you're good," or "if you've not been naughty and you've always been nice." He says, "I will prepare a table." His own life, he tasted death so that in him we could taste life. "I will prepare a table." And it's interesting that the word for prepare in the Septuagint is the same word that's used in John 14. When on the eve of giving us his life, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place." So we not only have his presence in the now, we have a secure future in him. He prepares a table for us in the presence of my enemies. He wins through the gift of his self as he incarnated our Messiah and our sacrificial lamb. I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come forth and to receive the very body and blood of Christ. Pastor Al will be here to pray with you if you'd like to have prayer. But come and adore this gift that was given for all of us. Thank you.
Our gracious God, as we know from your first coming, that your coming is always at the fullness of time. It's always at the right time. Give us grace as we are walking through these days where it seems that war can reign more than peace. Give us grace to know that the evil will fail and peace in Christ will prevail in good time. May we wait and trust and continue to look for your coming in all those areas of great need. We trust you, Lord. We adore you. And we thank you for your Son. And in his name we pray. Amen. Let us close our worship standing and singing our final hymn. Christmas Day. The other is the one that really works hard to keep me in line. That's Carolyn Ashwell. And she's named Carolyn. And we have cookies for everyone and a little birthday cake, because sometimes their birthdays get overlooked. So can we sing happy birthday to these two Carol and Carolyns before we close? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.